Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Milwaukee Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast joining you once again. The Milwaukee Brewers are less than 10 days away from their home opener, from the season opener, March 28th at Miller Park, St. Louis Cardinals. I can't believe it. We are 10 days away from the start of the 2019 season, 1 year after this team went to the seventh game of the NLCS. I know a lot of people are going to be out there. It's a fun time. Let's talk about where the Brewers stand in this final home stretch. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. I'm going to be joined in a minute by Tom Hodricourt, Brewers beat reporter who covers the team for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We chatted about some of the final things that have to get into place before this roster is ready and prepared to break camp for the start of the 2019 season. Just a heads up, had some audio glitches here and there. There was a weather siren that went off in the background while I was talking at one point, so you'll be treated to that. It's not obnoxious, but it's back there if you're wondering what's going on. And if I needed to evacuate, I didn't, so no worries there, but just wanted to call your attention to that. One other thing that you should certainly be called attention to is what's going on at jsonline.com this week. March Madness is upon us. We know that Wisconsin and Marquette will be playing in the NCAA tournament this week. Marquette will be playing on Thursday and Wisconsin on Friday against Murray State and Oregon, respectively. Get all the coverage of that at jsonline.com. Lots of stuff going on. You can find my own 68 Degrees of Separation connecting every team in the Big Dance to the state of Wisconsin. Had some fun with that, as I do every year. Lots of coverage from Badgers reporter Jeff Patricus, Marquette reporter Ben Steele. They'll be with the teams at their respective destinations, Hartford, Connecticut for Marquette, San Jose, California for the Badgers, and they'll be providing all sorts of stuff as we get into the week. Ben wrote about John Morant, the star from Murray State. He's going to be a problem for Marquette, and you'll want to familiarize yourself with him. Again, all that stuff at jsonline.com. While you're at it, check out our podcasts. We've got lots of them, the Bucks, the Packers, the Badgers, of course, the Brewers. They're all at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us, and let us know what you think. Obviously, the Bucks are awesome. Got to keep up with what's going on there. The Packers went on this free agent spending spree that you'll be checked in on. And, of course, we've got lots to talk about with the Milwaukee Brewers. We are, again, less than 10 days away from the start of opening day. Let's chat with Tom and find out what's up with your Milwaukee Brewers baseball team. Here now is Tom Hodricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Still in Arizona as the Milwaukee Brewers ramp up toward that March 28th start time, less than 10 days away from the home opener at Miller Park against the St. Louis Cardinals. Tom, first order of business, the starting rotation. Obviously, you need all the caveats. It's a small sample size. They're working on things. It's not, it's not panic time yet. However, guys like Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, even Corbin Burns, they haven't been sparkling this spring. What is your take on where the Brewers stand rotation-wise right now, and is there any reason for concern?
I don't know about concern. I guess maybe some. It does seem to me that we're farther along in camp than we've ever been with just one starter officially named. You know, we know Yolish Chacin is going to be starting on opening day, but no one else has been named yet. Now, they have them lined up so that, you know, Chase Anderson and Zach Davies look like they're lined up behind him. But there's all kinds of play you can do there, moving guys around. And, you know, today's an off day, so nobody's pitching. The three kids, Burns, Woodruff, And Peralta had probably pitched better overall than the two veterans, Davies and Anderson. So, yeah, I just don't know what to say about the rotation. It's very interesting that there has not been more definition. You know, they may know what they're going to do. They're just not telling us, you know. So, you know, I saw Gio Gonzalez is signing with the Yankees, so he's not joining them. Yeah, I don't know. It's very puzzling just exactly what's going on. Maybe, you know, they've said it's a competition. Maybe they don't think it's been settled yet. But we're getting awful daggone close to the end. So going to be interesting to see how that shaped out. I tell you, you know, Burns has been a little up and down, but I think it's because he's sort of getting back into his full repertoire after boiling it down to fastball slider as a reliever last year. But Woodruff and Peralta have been pretty good. And, matter of fact, I don't think Woodruff's given up a run. And that's always good when you don't give up a run. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the pitching staff is the only thing that there's any uncertainty. And yeah, I can pretty much give you the 12 position players, you know, barring injury or trade. But the pitching still has to be hashed out. You know, it doesn't look like Jeremy Jeffress is going to be in the bullpen at the start of the year. He's not even throwing right now, so he's most definitely not going to be in the bullpen. You know, one real wild card in this, JR, and we've called him a wild card for a year and plus now, is Jimmy Nelson. When might he be ready to pitch in the major leagues? You know, he's only gone out there twice. He's only pitched four innings, but the last three were pretty good against Colorado the other day. And so, but I still think they've got to build him up some, and he's definitely staying behind when they break camp because he needs to stay out here and keep pitching in games. But might he be ready a few weeks into the season or a month into the season rather than the middle of the season? It's possible. And he's just a true wild card. When he does come back, what's he going to be like? You know, is he going to be like the Jimmy Nelson of September 2017 when he got hurt? Or is he going to be some smaller version as far as stuff? I don't know, but he is definitely a wild card right now.
Hey, here's another wild card. Adrian Hauser. You wrote about him as a possibility to take that last roster spot when we sort of came to terms with the fact that Jeremy Jeffress isn't going to be ready for the start of opening day. And Adrian Hauser looked like a guy who could make that, you know, maybe be that last guy in the bullpen. But now, as you've written at jsonline.com, he's been sent back to AAA and they're stretching him out. They want him to work longer and I presume start a bunch of games at AAA. What is Adrian Hauser's long-term prognosis? Does he fit into this rotation puzzle?
Maybe down the road he does. You know, they keep talking about how, I know we're going to start with five starters, but we're going to end up using way more than that. And that's always the case for most every team. But, you know, they only used Hauser in short bursts in camp because if you made their team out of camp, it was going to be in the bullpen. But now, as you just noted, they do want to stretch him out in AAA San Antonio. Boy, it's going to take us a long time to get used to saying AAA San Antonio, isn't it, JR?
Yeah, I know. We're so used to Colorado Springs, but new world now.
But no pitchers complaining about it. I can guarantee you that.
right, no doubt.
So they're going to stretch him out down there, and how quickly can they stretch him out, and how far does he need to be stretched out? You know, a lot of starters don't go more than five or six innings at the start of the year anyway because they're not fully stretched out yet. So we'll see. But he's in the conversation as well. He's going to pitch for the Brewers, as you know, this year at some point. What role to be determined. So, yeah, so it's very interesting. You know, who's going to fill the last couple of bullpen spots? You know, one other interesting thing to keep track of, especially as we get towards the end of this week, all 3 years that David Stearns has been general manager, the three previous years, He's added a reliever from the outside at the end of camp.
Yeah.
So last year was Dan Jennings. So, you know, and if you're going to add a player at the end of camp, it's most likely going to be a relief pitcher. A whole bunch of pitchers get kicked out onto the market at the end because it just wasn't room for them, and they have contractual ability to go back on the market instead of going to the minors. So, let's see who they add from the outside, too, because they sure have made a habit of doing it. at the end of camp under Stern.
Is it completely off the table that that reliever is Craig Kimbrell? Because it's noticeable that he's still out there, and especially with Jeff Resert, you could see them bringing in another right-handed hammer.
Yeah. You learn to never say never, especially with the Brewers, because they do think big. But I think they'd have to move somebody else, JR. Even on a one-year deal for Kimbrell, he's going to ask for a lot. He might ask for as much as Grandal got, you know? I mean, we saw stuff at the beginning of the winter where he wanted 6 years, $100 million. So, but he's definitely not getting that, doesn't look like. But I do think their budget is stretched now so that they might be able to add a $4 or $5 million guy, but I don't think they could add a $10 or $12 or $15 million guy. That's why I think Dallas Keuchel's out too, unless his price comes way down. So, you know, until they sign somewhere else, they could always sign with the Brewers because they could always sign with the Brewers. But I don't think they're going to. I've been given no indication that they are, and I think they're asking price would have to come way down. I saw Gio Gonzalez sign a minor league deal with the Yankees, and I think the most he can get is $3 million. So these guys, you know, the season's getting ready to start. You better start bringing your price down.
Like you said, the starters as far as, away from the pitching mound, pretty much set in stone. But there are a couple guys that I wanted to ask you about. You wrote at jsonline.com about Corey Spangenberg. He's sort of that super utility guy, and his offensive numbers aren't going to jump off the page necessarily. But I'm curious what you think his role still might be with this Milwaukee Brewers team. I mean, there's always a need for a versatile guy like that, and obviously Hernán Pérez sort of fills that role. But Spangenberg's shown a little power this spring. What is sort of your assessment of where he stands?
Well, those utility guys are very, very useful in the National League. Spangenberg's had a good camp. His numbers don't reflect how well he swung them at. He's hit into a lot of hard outs. I just don't think that they can keep him out of camp. If you say they're going to keep 12 guys, 12 position players, because it looks like they want to keep 13, well, that means only four on the bench. Well, Manny Pena is going to be one. You got to have a backup catcher. Hernán Pérez is going to be one. You got to have a utility infielder. Ben Gamel's going to be one. You got to have a fourth outfielder. And then Eric Thames is going to be on the team if he's still in the organization. You know, so I think that counts out Spangenberg and Saladino, both of whom have played well in camp. But those are guys that's probably going to play for him during the year, you know, and there may be times where they go back down to 12 pitchers and add a bench guy. So it leaves you thin on the bench with just four guys, especially if a game goes into extra innings or something like that. Doesn't leave a lot of moves.
Feels like Eric Thames is the type of guy who, if they acquire someone, even into the season or shortly before the season, he would be a guy that potentially could go the other way. But I guess we've thought that for a while with him, that he was, you know, he was kind of on the outside looking in with this roster. He's still here. I mean, it's not like he doesn't provide something for them as a left-handed bench power bat. I mean, what are your thoughts on him? Is he still sort of that guy that you see on the outside looking in? Or is at this point, you got to feel like he's going to make the opening day roster, right?
Well, I wonder if they look at him and remember last year that he was the first baseman and Aguilar was the guy with no role. Remember?
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, it's the exact same thing in reverse.
So I wonder if that makes them nervous to think about trading Thames, because then what happens if something happens to Aguilar? They have no first baseman. You know, Braun has not played there this spring like he did last spring. So, you know, last year Thames was supposed to be the first baseman and Aguilar had no spot on the team. Well, you know, a month into the season, Thames gets hurt. Aguilar becomes a first baseman, becomes an all-star, and Thames can't get his job back. So every time we think they have too many players, JR, we get proved wrong, don't we?
Yes, it's true. It's always it seems like David Stearns is a step ahead of all of us, which has certainly worked out thus far. Another guy we knew was definitely not going to make the team is Keston Hira, the Brewers' top prospect. But oh my gosh, he did nothing to dispel the notion that he is going to be a big time contributor here in the near future. He hit 3 home runs in spring, had a .921 OPS. Again, we're talking about 35 at bats. We're not talking about a big sample size, but I wonder if the timeline for Keston Hira has accelerated a little bit. Certainly the addition of Moustakas would suggest, okay, they're not going to need Keston Hira at any point in 2019, but he just might force his way onto this roster at some point, June, July. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep him out of the big leagues.
Yeah, I wonder if you almost think the Brewers should send him out of camp so he stops making people mad that they're not going to keep him, you know?
yes,
he's leading
right,
the team now,
right.
13 RBIs. And I know RBIs are, a lot of people think they're totally meaningless stats, so that's a debate for another day. But the point is, as you noted, he's swinging the bat well. And so, he's going to be their second baseman at some point. You know, maybe the answer to trading Thames is then if something happens to Aguilar, you put Shaw at first, Moustakas at third, and Keston Hira at second. Maybe that's your coverage. What do you think of that idea?
I like it. We know Moustakas can play a decent third base. We know Travis Shaw can be pretty flexible. So let's see that work. It's possible the way Keston Hira has played.
To me, that would be if they traded Thames and Aguilar got injured or went into a terrible slump, to me, that would be the next way they looked would be to move Shaw to first, Moustakas back to third, and bring Keston Hira. Now, I think everybody's aware of the arbitration and Super Twos and all that stuff. So I'm not saying that would happen a week into the season, but it might happen 2 months into the season if that scenario would play out where something happens to Aguilar. So you do want to keep control of these guys as long as you can. So it's a pleasant problem to have. What fun would there be if there wasn't a number one prospect knocking on the door and everybody's saying, why don't you play him? What fun would we have?
Yes, you're right. It is an annual pastime. As much as the baseball players have been getting attention in camp, there's been a football player roaming around. It seems like every time you turn around, Baker Mayfield is doing something. He was coaching first base, donning a Brewers jersey, hanging out with his buddy Christian Yelich. What's it been like being an NFL reporter this past week? There's been a lot going on with Baker Mayfield in camp.
Well, I tell you what, JR, it couldn't have come at a better time for both the players or the media, because when you get to that fifth week of camp, man, guys are getting fatigued of camp, but you're not close enough to the end for the carrot to dangle and you snatch it away. You still know you have more than a week left in camp. So now we've gotten inside that last week, but Baker Mayfield sure helped us get through the end of that fifth week because it was fun stuff. He looks like a great guy, and we probably shouldn't be surprised that he's good friends with Yelich and Moustakas and Braun and them, because those are good guys too. So he fits right in. But it is very interesting that he had no idea they were going to put him at first base to coach the other day, and I think he's a little nervous at first. Next thing, the real funny thing was they gave him a stopwatch and he didn't have the slightest idea what to do with it. He's like, why are you carrying a stopwatch out to first base? He thought he was back at the NFL combine, where they were clocking guys in the 60 or something. So he did not know how to time a pitcher, but he didn't care. But he had a good time. The guys were having fun. Moustakas doubled and homered while he was coaching first, so I'm surprised Moustakas didn't make a formal request for him to become the first base coach. He had six total bases and two at-bats. And we love that Baker Mayfield calls Moose Malibu Mike. He lives in Malibu, so I knew there was a Malibu Barbie, but I never knew there was a Malibu Mike. So that's how familiar they are. So I know Travis Shaw was some kind of happy to see Baker Mayfield, because Travis Shaw is from Ohio. He's a diehard Browns fan, and I think the word long suffering comes in there as well. And he thinks they're going to get going under Baker Mayfield. And plus, I believe he got an autographed Browns helmet out of that whole deal from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, the Browns are having a heck of an offseason. They've got Odell Beckham Jr. They've been very buzzy this offseason, and so it's Baker Mayfield certainly at the center of that. It could be a fun team to watch this year. Travis Shaw should be. Go ahead.
I was just going to say you threw Odell Beckham out of there. Well, no one had talked to Baker Mayfield about that because it had just happened. And Todd Rosiak got to be the first reporter an MLB beat writer to say, well, how are you looking forward to throwing to Odell Beckham Jr.? So, you know, us Brewer writers, and Todd in particular, we got the scoop on that. Because
nice.
So, right place, right time. Timing's everything in life.
You know Todd's going to put NFL reporter on his business card and demand a raise now, right?
Well, I wouldn't put anything past Todd. He needs to work on his baseball reporting first. That was a joke. That was a joke.
Yeah, he doesn't listen back to the podcast, so it'll be a secret between you, me, and the couple thousand people who take a listen here.
I'll make sure. I'll tell him. I'm going to denote the minute that I said that on podcast and tell him he has to tune in to at least that minute.
The new rules in Major League Baseball are probably another sort of pervading topic this spring. Looks like in 2020 we'll have things like a pitcher has to face three batters and before they can make a pitching change. A few other changes that are pretty dramatic. We haven't seen big sweeping changes like that in a while. I say sweeping, maybe not sweeping, but we haven't seen big changes like this in a while. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you could interpret that as that is interfering with some of the things the Brewers worked to their advantage last season in particular. How do they feel about it?
Yeah. Well, they don't really know how to feel about it yet. They need to think about it some more. And as you noted, a lot of them aren't going to happen until next year. It sure is a lot of stuff coming at us all at once here, isn't it, JR? Even over a 2-year period, I'm not sure why we're changing so many things. And of course, they're trying out a whole bunch of other things in the Atlantic League too that we're going to take a look at down the road as well. So, you know, not a lot of it's going to happen this year. You know, it's funny that in all this new, like you said, sweeping changes, the DH stuff seems to have got tabled. I'm not sure what that's all about, but they. You know, they also seem to want to start talking finances 2 years ahead of the CBA being up, too. So maybe that's a good thing, because I think they got some real stuff that needs to be hashed out there to avoid a work stoppage. But at least I do predict many people will sign up for Home Run Derby this year. Now that they've attached a $1 million prize to the winner, that should get people's attention.
Yeah, definitely. You're going to have some big names swinging for the fences. All-Star Weekend, it seems like they're trying to pump that up and continue to make that a pretty big event. And certainly it's one of probably the best All-Star game we got. So that's cool. The season's right here, man. We're 10 days away from less than 10 days away from opening day. I don't know if you feel like there's any last surprises the Brewers are going to pull out on us. Any roster moves that you think might be possible that go ahead, all yours.
Yeah, I think one thing we should touch on is what's going to happen with Eric Kratz. You know, there's a whole lot of Eric Kratz fans out there. He played very well for the Brewers last year after they got him from the Yankees in the middle of the year. Right now, there's no room for him on their roster. They only plan to keep two catchers. Those catchers will be Yasmani Grandal and Manny Pena, barring an injury to one of those two. And Pena has had a little tweak in his knee lately, but they say he's fine. So Kratz, you know, he's 38 years old. He still can catch. He still can get a big hit for you every now and then. But he's out of minor league options. With the catching market being what it is, lots of people seem to be interested in him. I fully expect him to be traded, because otherwise you put him through waivers, he gets claimed, you get nothing for him. So I think Eric Kratz is going to start the year in the major leagues. I just don't think it's going to be with the Brewers. And I know that breaks a lot of Brewers fans' hearts, because you got to love you some Eric Kratz if you're a Brewers fan, don't you, JR, what he did for him last year?
100%. The guy's going to be a folk hero for a long time, even if it doesn't work out this year. I think he sort of cemented his place in Brewers history, don't you think?
Absolutely. So he got some awful big hits. So that's something to keep an eye on. It's going to be some tears in the clubhouse, because he loves the Brewers and they love them. They love him if he does go to another team. So in a camp where there's not a whole lot of personnel storylines, that's one of them.
Last question here before I let you go. There's obviously a lot of preseason content out there in the world. A lot of people think that the Brewers are due for a little bit of regression, which you can understand, because they did go on a major hot streak to finish the year. They got just about every break they could possibly get. But and we'll have our own Brewers preview coming out in the physical copy of the Journal Sentinel and available for subscribers at jsonline.com, where we talk about some of that stuff. But I guess just in general, do you think the Brewers are that much of a regression candidate? I mean, would you be surprised to see them come back to the mean a little bit, especially in a division where, you know, the Cardinals have improved with Paul Goldschmidt and the Cubs should still be good? It should be a really good division.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be regression in talent or performance. It can be regression in one loss record just because of what you just said. The division's going to be a lot tougher. The Cubs and the Brewers tied for first place with 95 wins last year. They forced a one-game showdown. The Brewers won number 96 and won the division. I'm not sure anybody's going to win 95 or 96 games in the division this year, JR. You play each team 19 times. You know, everybody's trying to win. They don't have a tanking division that they're competing in. So and so I think it's, you know, they're gonna draw blood from each other a lot this year. And it's going to make it hard to get out of that division in one piece and with a really good record. So it can be regression merely in one loss record. But I actually think you could be a better team this year and not win 95 games in the NL Central. That's how much better I think the division is. So that's going to be something to watch. And the Brewers got their work cut out for them. They have a tough schedule right out of the chute. You know, they get to cross swords with the Cardinals right out of the chute here.
Tom Haudricourt, he is the Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Read everything he has to say at jsonline.com. He and Todd Rosiak have got you all caught up. And Tom, one last thought before I let you go. My understanding is, you, speaking of the 2018 Brewers, somebody's writing a book about the 2018 Brewers. What do you know about that?
Yeah, it's going to be out here in a couple of weeks. You can already order it on, pre-ordered it on Amazon, 2018 Special Brews. So, yeah, put together a quick little book, a little look back before we look forward. So thank you for that mention. And for folks who are interested, check it out.
Thanks for joining us, Tom. We'll chat with you again very soon. Baseball's right around the corner. Time is here.
It is. We're very close now, so let's get on with it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, go find all kinds of stuff at jsonline.com. Tom Haudricourt and Todd Rosiak keep you up to date with what's going on. Great time to become a digital subscriber. You'll get full access to the Journal Sentinel Brewers preview section. That's going to run in print in the Journal Sentinel newspaper, for those of you who still get a newspaper. But all of that information online is only going to be available to subscribers. It's not going to be, you're not going to be able to use that as one of your 3 free articles or 5 free articles for the month. You got to be a subscriber to check all that out. We got lots of stuff. 3 reasons to believe in the Brewers, 3 reasons to be skeptical, full previews of what's going on in the AL and the NL, storylines to watch, ranking every player in the National League Central, including where the Brewers fall, ranking them by position, lots to talk about, prospects, all that. So again, check out the great deals we have for you, jsonline.com/deal to become a subscriber, and you will, I think, not be disappointed. Hopefully you enjoy the ramp up, the final stretch here before the start of the season. We will have a podcast for you looking ahead to opening day when that time comes. Thanks for checking in. We will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.